we have not met, my name is Jermaine Harrison, and I'm so glad that you're here. Thank you, Benji and Ruthie, for leading us in worship through song. That was incredible. That was awesome to listen to you guys singing out to your God, our God. We are continuing our series, so I want to invite you to lock in. Grab your Bible, grab your journal. Maybe you take notes on your phone. Make sure that it's no distractions so that you can pay attention, because I think that tonight is just like every other night, an amazing opportunity to learn from God, to know more of who He is. So we're continuing our series we're calling Long Story Short, where we've been looking at a short journey through the long history of God's love for you and for me, a short journey through the long history of God's love for us. And really, where we're at is kind of at the halfway point, if you will, of the Bible. We're about to start going into the New Testament, which begins with the era of the Gospels, the time of Jesus's life here on earth, which is recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in your New Testament. And so we've been through a ton, as you can see, of the Old Testament. We got a few more eras of the history of God's love to review, and tonight specifically we're looking at the era of the Gospels. And so to set up where we're going, I want to ask you a question. How many of you guys love receiving good news? Like you like getting some, yep, everyone should love getting good news, obviously. Well, recently for me, one of the most recent examples of getting good news was about a little over a year ago, a year and a half ago-ish, my wife and I found out that we were pregnant. That was great news, but that's not the good news that I'm referencing. After that, we were like, okay, we live in an apartment that is one bedroom, and if our son was born and he was going to live here with us, obviously, he would need to sleep in the bathroom or the closet, and we were like, we're not trying to do that. So let's start looking for a home with more space so he can have his own room and all of that good stuff. And so we went on the journey of finding a home, and several houses in, we had put in offers on homes. We liked some, we didn't like some, and we got rejected from some, or they rejected our offer. And finally, after about 7 or 8 homes, our offer was accepted, and we got to move into this house on the east side of Richardson. Yeah, thank you guys. Near Berkner High School, if you're ever over there. I'm pretty close by in my house with my wife and my son, Winslow. It was good news to finally hear that we had gotten this offer accepted and we were going to be able to begin our life or this new season of our life in our home. And I know the same is true of you, that you like to hear good news. And so maybe some high school or teenage examples of getting good news is making the team at school, the basketball team, the football team, the cheerleading team, whatever it might be, or making the honor roll, or getting the ACT score that you've been wanting so you can apply to that college, or getting into the college of your dreams, or maybe it's getting on the student council, or maybe it's just as simple as getting exactly what you had on your birthday wish list. Right? All of us love receiving good news. And as I was thinking about that idea and thinking about this message tonight, the thing that came to the phrase that kept coming to my mind was that, man, it is so easy for good news to go stale. It is so easy for good news that we're really excited about at one point to go stale, and we're just not as excited about it as we once were. Like when we got the offer accepted on that house, I would leave work and I would drive out of the way. We weren't living there yet. I would drive by the house to just look at it, because I was just so happy that this was going to be our future home. I did that for like a couple weeks, and it was just because I was so excited of the good news of that opportunity. And now I just drive in, go into the garage, and go into the house and move on with my life without the thought of like, oh my gosh, we get to live here, right? Or maybe a more serious example of good news like fading and becoming stale. When our son was born, he was going to potentially have some kidney problems. He was going to potentially have a a disease that would make feeding or eating challenging for him. And so those first couple of doctor visits that we went to, man, I prayed so much before them. I asked God to help us. I asked God to heal our son. And then when we would get the good news that he was getting better or that these things weren't going to be an issue, I was like, let's go. You know, it was good news to hear those positive reports. But then as time went along, as the months went along, and he still went to doctor visits like you normally do, and we got a good report that everything was looking great, I just wasn't as excited or as, vocal about the excitement of the good news, right? Good news can often go stale. And I think that one of the things, sadly, that happens with is the good news of the gospel. The good news that God loved you and I so much that he sent his son to live and to die and to raise again from the dead so that you and I can have life, can have a reunited, a reconciled relationship with God. You've heard it before. You've heard it 100 times. Your parents have said it. You've heard it all the time here at church. Maybe you hear it at school if you go to a Christian school or whatever it might be. The good news that God demonstrated his love for us can so often get stale. And so, man, truly, I hope my prayer and my desire is that over the next few moments that you'd be reminded afresh of the gospel, of the fact that Jesus loves you and that he shows it to you every single day. And so this message isn't necessarily going to be a, hey, here's how you should respond and helpful things to do in your life, as it is a message that I hope you believe, that I hope you rest in. So for the next few moments, I hope to remind you of the good news that should transform and inspire you every single day. So I'm going to share with you for the next couple moments three pieces of good news that is worth noting. You should write it down, put it on your phone, make it a reminder to help you not allow the gospel, the best news that there ever was, to grow stale in your heart. Okay? So the first piece of good news I want to share with you is this, is that the Old Testament isn't the end of the story. The Old Testament isn't the end of the story. And here's why that is good news. Where we are, where we are about to begin the gospel era, reading through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where we are in the story is on the tail end of 400 years. Yes, 400 years of silence. God's people, the nation of Israel, who were to be the ones that would live as an example of how God would want us to live and invite other people into a relationship with him, they were the ones who said, God, we're good. We're going to go our own way. We're going to have our own kings. We're going to live our own lives. And they went in rebellion against God, and he exiled them from the promised land. And then they 70 years later, returned to the promised land of God. And they went back to being comfortable. They built their houses. They started to like have a works-based relationship with God and just do their own thing. And it was silent from God. No prophets, no miracles, no word from God for 400 years. And so that's where we are in this story when we get to the Gospel of Matthew. And the way it starts is that it says that it's the genealogy of Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of David, the Savior of the world. That is crazy and amazing good news that at the end of 400 years of not hearing from God, we hear God speak through Jesus very specifically. So Matthew chapter 4 is a couple verses there that I want to read to you. Matthew 4 verses 16 and 17. So remember the context. 400 years, they haven't heard from God. It might be even hopeless of like, what's going on? Does God remember us? Is he going to rescue us? Is he going to save us? And it says this in Matthew 4, 16 and 17. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the shadow, in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach. Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Guys, the end of the Old Testament, which is really sad and can be really hopeless, isn't the end of the story. Jesus comes. He comes as a baby, and he grows up into the Savior of the world, who would invite disciples to follow him, and he would live, and he would die, and he would raise again. That is good news. That is amazing news. And something else about the Old Testament is that everything recorded in it, every hero, there's so much symbolism that points toward who Jesus is. And so Jesus is the better Adam, because through one Adam, the first Adam, all experienced death, separation from God. And through this new Adam, Jesus, we would all be made alive. Jesus is the better Moses. He would lead his people, those who would place their faith and trust in him, away from the bondage and slavery to sin, much like Moses led the nation of Israel out of bondage and slavery in Egypt. Jesus is the greater Joshua. Joshua taught the nation of Israel how to live for God and how to cultivate the land that he had blessed them with. And Jesus would be the perfect example of how we're to live in light of God's will and his way. Jesus is the one of whom the prophets foretold. Jesus is the perfect priest that would go before God on our behalf, and Jesus is the perfect king who will rule and reign with righteousness and justice and peace and full trust in the Father. And so when you read about the kings and read about the prophets and read about these heroes in the Old Testament, they are all pictures, shadows of one who was to come, the great Redeemer, the Savior of the world. The Old Testament isn't the end of the story. In fact, if you start reading your Bible in Matthew, it's kind of like, you know, if you're at dinner with your friends and you're on one side of the table maybe and you're having a conversation and the conversation ends and you're like trying to get your way into the conversation on the other side of the table, but you don't even know what they're talking about because they're mid-conversation. Right? And you're like trying to figure out what's going on. That's what it's like if you start reading the Bible in the New Testament, right? Or like another example is if you jump in the middle of a movie or a video on YouTube or whatever it is, you understand that feeling of jumping in the middle and being like, man, I'm so confused. And that's the same thing when it comes to starting to read your Bible in the New Testament. There's so much that goes before it that will help you understand who Jesus is, why he needed to come, and what he was doing here on this earth. And so if you've never read the Old Testament because you've been intimidated or scared or just not interested, I want to encourage you, and I hope that this series has encouraged you to read it, to get into it, to understand it, to learn more about who God is. And so one last thing on that, a personal point of application on this point of good news that the Old Testament isn't the end of the story is this. Whatever you're experiencing in your life right now isn't the end of the story. Make sense? Whatever you're experiencing in life right now isn't the end of the story. And here's what I mean by that. Some of you, maybe you're experiencing some real hardship personally or in relationships, or you have a family member or a loved one who's sick, and there's just a lot of challenges that you're facing or looking ahead towards. And I just want to tell you, I want to encourage you with this truth, that as long as there's life, that there's hope. As long as Christ exists, as long as he lives, as long as the God of the universe reigns supreme, and he does, whatever you're going through, wherever you are, it is not the end of the story. So the first piece of good news is that the Old Testament isn't the end of the story. The second piece of good news I want to share with you is that Jesus came to the right place at the right time. Jesus came to the right place at the right time. And I know that even bringing up that statement that sounds like good news, some of you might be even arguing in your mind of like, man, there's so much in my life right now that I wish that Jesus would show up at the right place and at the right time. I'm going through something. I'm experiencing some conflict. There's something really hard and difficult. Like just today, I was at lunch with a friend of mine, and his wife has been having a season over the last couple years of severe back pain. And she's had six back surgeries. Six. And still not recovered, still not full health and healing. Man, that is really hard. And that's also such an, you know, in our perspective, an easy thing of like, why wouldn't God just like, just heal her? Why wouldn't God help her be whole? That seems like the right place. That seems like the right time. And maybe you're thinking that about your life too. Why isn't he answering that prayer? And, you know, part of the answer to that is, I don't know. I really don't know, because, you know, I'm not sovereign, I'm not all-knowing, and so I don't know. And part of the answer to that might be that, man, he has something better in store, or he has a divine purpose for whatever you're experiencing that you and I can't even understand why it's happening. And even that's a hard, you know, like truth to swallow or to hear, but man, it's true. Jesus came to the right place at the right time, and I think the same is true in our lives. Look at Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5 to illustrate this point, this good news that Jesus came to the right place at the right time. It says this, but when the set time had fully come, so this is the Apostle Paul, he's writing to this church, this group of believers, and he's telling them about the fact that Jesus came to the right place at the right time. It says, but when the set time had fully come, when the set time had fully come, when in God's sovereignty, in his divine plan, when the set time had fully come, I don't know why Jesus didn't come earlier. I don't know why Jesus isn't coming in this specific moment to meet your need. But I know that when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law that we might redeem the adoption of sons. Translation, when it was the perfect timing in God's sovereign plan and in his will for this world in bringing us back into a relationship with him, he sent Jesus to the right place at the right time. Jesus was a Jew, a descendant of Abraham, of the tribe of Judah, just like it had been promised that he would come all throughout the Old Testament. And he came at the right time when the nation of Israel was being oppressed by the Romans who were ruling over them and taking advantage of them. Jesus came at the right time when the right people were in power, when the right set of circumstances would allow that he would come, live a perfect life, be accused of being a blasphemer and a demon, and to be crucified for your sins and mine, and to raise again from the dead so that you and I can have life, so that you and I can have a reconciled relationship with God, and so that you and I can have hope in the midst of the hard and difficult experiences in our lives. Jesus came to the right place at the right time. God was purposeful with the timing and the place of Jesus's birth, right? And it's almost like, here's what I think of when I think of Jesus coming to the right place at the right time. I think of every superhero movie you've ever seen. How many of you guys love all of the Marvel movies that there have ever been? I think there's a picture of every single one of them. Yes, I know we got some fans in the room. But here, let me spoil something for you. Every single one of those movies has the exact same plot. All of them do. And every other superhero movie that isn't Marvel, every action movie, they try to do some cool stuff to make it a little different, but it's the same. Here's the thing. Everything's awesome. The sun is shining. Birds are chirping. And then there's a villain, and he ruins everything. And we're like, oh, what are we going to do? And then the hero shows up, and he saves the world, and everyone's happy again at the end of every superhero movie ever. I know. They're like trying to make it edgy and change it up, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, you get my point. And you know why? You know why we go and spend, you know, $8 or $20 for the IMAX movie to go see the same general idea over and over again? Because deep down inside of us, we know that we need help. We know that we need a rescuer. We know that we need a hero. And just like in all of those movies, the hero comes at just the right time to rescue and save. Man, in just the same way, Jesus came at the right place and the right time to rescue us, to redeem us from our brokenness and our sin and our shame. And a personal application of that, for this point that I want to share with you is like, just like God was purposeful with Jesus and his life and his birth and all that was surrounded that, he's purposeful in your circumstances as well. God is purposeful with your life. God is purposeful with your circumstances as well. Psalm 103, verse 19 is a verse that I reflect on often, and it says this: the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. While there might be questions, while there might be doubts, there is no question, there is no doubt about who's in charge. While we might want him or hope that he acts differently or responds differently, man, you can rest in the fact that it's not you in charge, not someone else who is fallen, broken, and frail that's in charge, but that it's the powerful, sovereign God of the universe. And I hope that that truth brings you peace and encouragement tonight. So it's good news that Jesus came at the right to the right place at the right time. Lastly, the last piece of good news I want to share with you is this: Jesus came to reconcile everyone to God. So the Old Testament isn't the end of the story. Jesus came to the right place at the right time to rescue us from our sin. And Jesus came to reconcile or to reunite every one of us to God. There's a verse that you've heard, a verse that you've quoted, a verse that you know, a verse that has become stale maybe because of how often it's been repeated. And it's John 3:16. How many of you know that verse out of your memory? Yep, all the TCAers over there. And some other, yeah, you too. John 3:16, it says this: for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And it can be easy to say it because you've said it 1,000 times, you've heard it 1,000 times, and it's like the most popular and memorized and memorable verse in the world. But there is so much truth in that verse that we should stop and take a moment to reflect on and thank God for. For God so loved the world. For God so loved you. Because he loved you, he did something. He demonstrated that love, and he sent his son, Jesus, because without him, you are lost. Without him, we are broken. Without him, we are separated from God. But he loved us, and he didn't want that to be the case about our lives. And so he sent his son, Jesus, to live and to die and to raise again, and so that whoever, which includes any of us, whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus came to reconcile everyone to God. Another way of saying that is this: your sin was the problem. Jesus' life was the price. You becoming a child of God was the prize. Let me go through that again. Your sin, your deliberate attempts to run from God, to run from his way, to run from how he would invite you to live. Your sin was the problem. Your sin separated you from God. Your sin keeps you from being in his holy presence. And because that's true, you can't do anything about it. But God can. And so Jesus' life was a price that was paid, that was offered. He took on your sin on his body, on the cross, so that you wouldn't have to. And he traded and gave you his life. And so the prize is that you become a child of God. That is amazing news. That is news that should make you go, let's go, every single day. God loves you. And he sent his son Jesus, and he rose from the dead victorious over your sin, over the brokenness in this world, and he wants a relationship with every single one of you. That is good news. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10 is a passage, of, well, the whole chapter of Ephesians, my friends in my community group and I have been memorizing it. And man, if you have never memorized scripture, I want to encourage you to consider memorizing Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. Because in those verses, you find this truth, that our sin was the problem, and that Jesus' life was the price, and that you become a child, becoming a child of God was the prize. Ephesians 2, verse 1, it starts out defining your problem and mine. And you and I, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. A dead person can't move. A dead person can't work. A dead person can't do enough good things. That is a serious problem. And that's where all of us were. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, where the enemy was leading in your life and influencing in your life, and that was the problem with you. But there's an amazing turning point in verse 4 that I want to jump to. Ephesians 2, verse 4 says, begins, but God. When we were lost, when we were hopeless, when we were without hope, God, being rich in mercy. Guys, God is rich in mercy towards you. Because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead, when we could do nothing to save ourselves, he did. And he made us alive together with Christ. What is that referring to? Jesus died and he didn't stay dead, which is good news. And he continues to stay alive today, which is even better news. And because he stays alive, you and I, as long as Jesus lives, have an opportunity to be reconciled together with God. Guys, that is great news. His life was a price. And then let's jump to verse 8 through 10 where it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And it's not of yourselves. You can't work hard enough. You can't try enough. You can't do enough good things. You can't work your way to him. It is the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. The prize is to be a child of God, is to be welcomed in as a son or daughter of his, and as a result of that, living out the way that God has planned for you to live for him. Man, that is amazing news. That Jesus came to reconcile every one of us to God. So the personal point of application on this one is this. We are always in need of the gospel. We are always in need of the gospel. We are always in need of being reminded, of understanding that without him, we can do nothing. Without Jesus, we are lost, we are broken, we are hopeless. But in him, we have life. In him, we have peace. In him, we have hope. In him, we have purpose. We are always in need of the gospel. And so, man, I hope that if the gospel was stale to you when you came in tonight, that as you heard this message and heard God's word and read God's word, that it became fresh again in your heart. Or I hope that maybe if you've never trusted in who Jesus is and his work on the cross for you, that you heard it loud and clear. We are always in need of the gospel. I want to encourage you, if you want to continue to refresh your heart and remind yourself of the gospel, to read one of the gospels. So it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mark is the shortest one for teenagers. It's the most action-packed one, you know, if you will, where he's going from one event, one activity, one teaching on to the next. And so if you don't have a time, a place, a plan for spending time in God's word, the Gospel of Mark is a great place to start to read and understand who Jesus is, how he lived out his life and his mission and the message that he invites all of us in to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I want to encourage you, maybe some of you have heard of it, some of you haven't. How many of you guys have heard of the TV show The Chosen? How many of you guys have heard of it? Yep, there we go. If you haven't heard of it, I know when you think of Christian movie, you're like, terrible acting, snooze fest, this is terrible. This is the opposite of all of those things. The Chosen is an amazing depiction of Jesus' life here on earth. And so if you've never heard of it, I want to encourage you to download the app, watch the episodes. It's really cool if you're not, if you're maybe you learn better with not just reading words on a page, or maybe you're an auditory learner, or it's helpful to see. Man, I want to encourage you and invite you to watch this series because it is so well done. It is so well, it explains and shows you who Jesus is and his life and mission here on earth. So I want to encourage you to do that if that's helpful to you. But at the end of the day, I want to conclude with this. Man, there's so much good news because of Jesus that we often think or feel stale about. But I hope that tonight you were encouraged. The Old Testament isn't the end of the story. Jesus came to the right place at the right time. And Jesus came to reconcile every one of us to God. So the long story short is this. Your sin was a problem. Jesus' life was the price. And you becoming a child of God was the prize. And I want to encourage you. I don't know what it is for you or how you can keep the gospel fresh. If it's you wake up in the morning and you have an alarm on your phone that says, Madison, remind yourself of the gospel. And you just say, God loves me. My sin was the problem, and Jesus' life was the prize, and me being a child of God was the prize. I don't know what it is. Maybe you can come up with something that's way more creative than that, but I think that that is such good news that it should never grow stale and that you have an opportunity to make sure that that isn't the case, right? Your sin was the problem. Jesus' life is the price, and you becoming a child of God was the prize. Let me pray that that would be true and that you'd remind yourself of it every single day. God, we love you. And thank you for the fact that you loved us first. Like before we were, when we were dead, when we gave you no reason for you to love us, when we gave you every reason for you to not love us, in fact, thank you that you loved us still, and that you sent your son Jesus to live and to die and to raise again because he was the only suitable sacrifice that would pay the penalty, the ultimate price for all of our sin, all of our brokenness. And God, thank you that Jesus lives today. And thank you that he continues to invite every single one of us into a relationship with you. And I pray for every student in the room or every student who will ever listen to this, I pray that they would hear the gospel loud and clear, that you would open their eyes, that you would open their hearts to the truth of their brokenness and need for you, and that you sent your son and you demonstrated your love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.